obaye. In Christianity, God is a preserver. In Christianity, God is a deliverer. In Christianity, God is one who prospers. He's a prosperer. He's one who prospers. So in Christianity, God is our soter.
You are about to be so blessed by the words coming to you from the man of God, Reverend Samuel Kwame Sasu.
So today I'm talking to you about following God's plan for the local church. Following God's plan for the local church. Following God's plan for the local church. Praise God. Hallelujah. Following God's plan for the local church. All right, so let's get into the Bible. Let's go to somewhere in Timothy, chapter number something, before I do something. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 15. Let's begin from 14 for easier comprehension. Or better still, we should begin from 1, but let's begin from 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Now that is Paul writing to Timothy. Hallelujah. Setting things in order. Next verse. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know. So I've written these things to you. I'm about to come to you, but then I've written these things to you so that in case I delay, you will know how you ought to behave thyself in the house of God. I can teach this thing for a whole month. Hallelujah. But I'll push this scripture to next year when I'm teaching on local church. Hallelujah. I'll teach only this scripture. Yes. So it means, so he says, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself. It means that there is a behavior that is needed in the house of God. Somebody says that, oh, our church, even if you wear boxer, come. No, Paul says that there is a behavior in the church. Hallelujah. One time we were going for evangelism and a lady said that she doesn't have a dress. Except club dresses. And then the sister said, even if it's your brazier, I'll bring you to church. I said, what a wild soul winner. And I said, sister, if you want to come to church, I'll buy you a dress. We don't send, our church is not a place where people wear braziers to. Who wear a bra to church? Only bra. What kind of evangelism is that? Hallelujah. So Apostle Paul says that there is a behavior that is prescribed in the house of God. Hallelujah. And he says the house of God is the church. Some people say that the church is not the building, the church is the people. Now that is a half truth. Hallelujah. The church is also the building. That's why you see Church of Pentecost, Methodist Church. That building is a church. Hallelujah. So he said that the house of God, which is the church of the living God. The church of the living God. See? So sometimes I get shocked when I see churches being used for political rallies. See, the Bible says it is the church of the living God. Hallelujah. It's a sacred place. You know, so many people who believe that they've come to know the New Testament will say that there is nothing in the church. It's just a building. It's not a building. It is for God. And anything the name of God is named upon is holy. It's sacred. Hallelujah. So he says, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now he's talking about the assembly of God, the gathering of God's people. And the Apostle Paul says that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Hallelujah. So now it means that all that the church is supposed to be about is the truth. Praise the name of the Lord. The church is supposed to be the pillar. Not is supposed to be. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Anybody that wants to know the truth of God cannot find the truth of God in textbooks. You cannot know the truth of God on social commentators. You cannot know the truth of God on people who criticize God. See, the most hurtful thing is that people leave the Bible and they begin to look for God elsewhere. One time, somebody met me and we're talking and the person says that, prove to me that God exists without the Bible. I said, I can't do that. Now, I could have done that, but I said, I don't do that. I don't do that because there is nothing that teaches God better than the Bible. Praise the name of the Lord. There's nothing that explains God better than the Bible. There's nothing that makes God known better than the Bible. So the Bible says that the church, it is not the political system. It is not a lecturer. It is not experience. Experience is not the best teacher of the truth. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the church is the pillar. It means that without the church, there is no truth of God that can be known. People can look at the mountains. When I look at the mountains, I look at the valleys, I look at the sea, oh my God, you are Lord. People, you can see all these things and then have the impression that there is God somewhere. But the mountains don't teach God. Hallelujah. The valleys are not the pillar and the ground for truth. Hallelujah. Yeah, like unlike what they told you in your religious and moral studies, that Christians worship God through Jesus. Muslims worship God through, and the traditionalists worship God through smaller gods. So all of these things, I remember in at theological seminary, you know, a lecturer was teaching and the lecturer said that, you know, God is like a big elephant in a dark room. And then they just took one person. So there are people outside say, go and describe how an elephant looks like. One goes and the person touches the trunk. Is it a trunk? Yeah, so that's the trunk. So, and then the person comes and says, the elephant is like this. So the elephant looks like a trunk. And then another person goes and touches the elephant and the person touches the leg and says, an elephant is something that is straight. So he says that, you know, all the people are not wrong per se. They are all describing the elephant based on truth. Praise the name of the Lord. So I lifted up my hand and then I said, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. The elephant is not the truth. The person who helped, Jesus says that I am the fullness of the elephant. So if you want to see how the elephant is, just look at me. Praise the name of the Lord. So God is not known in other religions. They may talk about God. But then the Bible says that the church is the place where truth is known. So there is a reason why he says that there is a behavior that is needed at the church. Because the church is a place where the truth is. Praise God. So the moment you get born again, you are to be trained in the truth. See, you will not know God by reading the Bible. I want to say that again. You will not know God by being in your room and reading the Bible. I'm going to show you a couple of scriptures right now. And you just know that what I'm telling you is truth. You will not know God if you stay in your room and read the Bible. You know, some people say that, I don't go to church. Oh, the way these churches have become. I don't go to church. I just stay in my room, pray and read my Bible and go. You go to where? You will not know. You know, it's like saying that you are going to become a medical doctor. And then you are just in your room reading medical books. You can't. Hallelujah. You must need a teacher. And the place where God congregates his people so that the truth can be taught them is what is called the church. So the church is where God's people meet together to learn the truth. The church is not where God's people meet together to buy sobolo. The church is not where God's people meet together to buy powder. There is no merchandise in the house of God. I cannot come and give you red candles. You know, one prophet B who said some things, and I think it came to pass. I don't know whether it came to pass or it didn't come to pass. And then the man is now saying all kinds of abominable things. Hallelujah. He said that, you know, Mimi Jibibiedi, Miji Bosumdi, Miji Nyamidi, Miji Muslim Sudiedi, Miji Ningnedi. And Christians typed under it, you are saying the truth. You are really saying the truth. You are saying the truth. And this same man said that, Yewo Christosem, ena yewo ahonhomsem. Christosem de obeko heaven. Ahonhomsem ne bebo awo asasiso. Ahonhomsem ni nananum. Now this is a pastor that people go to church on Sundays to listen to. So to that person, Christianity is not spirituality. Galatians chapter 1. Let me show you something. We'll come back here. See, there's so much falsehood in the system. And if you're a Christian, and the truth is that because you see, there's so much information in the system. So many information. And if you are not grace, especially we are young people, and you know, we have the tendencies for new information, what is going on, you know, and you go and you just want to see what is happening on TikTok for 5 minutes, and then you go, somebody is making a whole whatever on the Bible, and it doesn't make sense. Praise God. Now let's go to verse 6 quickly. I don't know if it's verse 6, but it's been a very long time I saw that scripture. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. That people who pervert the gospel of Christ, they will put things in the gospel of Christ, and they will water down the faith of many. Hallelujah. Next verse now. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. Verse 8. But though we on an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Next verse. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Paul pronounced a double curse on anybody that preaches anything contrary. Hallelujah. Next verse. Verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Continue. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. So all these things that people are, you know, spewing into the system, and you see, all of these angelic worshippers, people who overemphasize on angels, bofo kumsi namni yejuma, bofo patapa namni yejuma, bofo mamole namni yejuma, all those people who are always talking about the fact that they are working with angels. All these people, they always begin by attacking the church, attacking the pastors. Oso for tiho onim ni akoso. Wodi ebrano tina ho. Di oso for tiho bewu. You know, and they put these things out there, and if you are not strong, you just feel enslaved. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, baba ye wa sorry. So for I ordain. See, so it's very important you get to know that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The best place you are going to know God is in the church. The church is full of hypocrites because you are inside. The very moment you leave the church, all hypocrites will leave the church. Praise God. I was telling the pastor the last time, wasn't the pastor, so it was you. Where two or three are gathered, Ah, so it was here. Well, two or three, I got it. How many of you in this church have had issues with people in this church? Somebody in this church. Lift your hand. Don't try. Me, I've had issues with people before. Oh, yeah. How many of you? You had, see, so, how many of you here have been hurt by somebody here, but you just looked at God and just forgive the person? Else, the church would have breathed. It's everywhere. Your workplace, your boss would demean you. Sometimes somebody will do something. The next day, you carry your bag, you are going. Because monthly, you get money. Hallelujah. Yeah, it does not change the fact that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now, let's go into the Old Testament. Let's look at the concept of church in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. Genesis 18, 17. And the Lord said, shall I, read it for me. Come on, read it for me.
And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?
Mm-hmm.
Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation.
That's right.
And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him.
Uh-huh. Hold on, hold on. So God says what? I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Put in ESV or NIV. ESV or NIV. Let's do NIV. Okay. So, for I have chosen him so that he would direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of.
By doing what is right and just.
So, hold on. How, in the mind of God, if children, household, are supposed to walk in the ways of God, how is that done? Come on. How is that done? I want you to help me preach. How is that done? No, listen to the question very well. If a household is supposed, if God wants a household to live right, to know him, what is the method that God is going to use? I'm hearing all kinds of things. Through what? Through what? Through a man. Through. That's what you are saying. Through the head. Through direction. Now, it means that if we pick a man, put your Bible somewhere. If this lady is born and then we leave her alone, she is not going to be directed. She is not going to walk right. She is not going to know God. Come on, are we together? So God says that, I know, please, you can go back. I know. Let's read it. He says, I have chosen him. So I have chosen him. I have chosen him for the purpose of his children's direction. And how he's going to do that is that he's going to direct them. That means you cannot leave a person alone to know God. Come on, are we together in this place now? You cannot leave a person alone. Sometimes people say that, hey, after you are born again, find a Bible-believing church and go. No! You must teach the person the kind of church you should go. Hallelujah. You cannot know God without direction. That's what God is saying. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord. So the keeping of the way of the Lord is as a result of instructive direction. That's what the Bible calls command. Hallelujah. It's by instructive correction. Now that's why we gather together. We gather together so that we are instructed in the way of the Lord and we come to know the Lord and we live in accordance to the Lord. that somebody goes to church does not mean that the person is going to live a single life. No. Is the person being directed? Is there an instructive teaching going on? Hallelujah. Because if there's an instructive teaching going on, the person at a point will be tired. Come on, are we together in this place now? Now, let's go to somewhere again in Exodus, I think. 6:6-9. Deuteronomy 6:6-9. Deuteronomy 6:6-9. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your heart. Do you see what God is saying?
Uh-huh.
Next verse. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. So God has given commandment to the children of Israel. And God is saying that, listen, that your children are born into your homes and you have the commandment, is not going to automatically transform them into believing the commandment. You are supposed to imprint them, impress them on their hearts. How are you going to do that? Come on, how are you going to do that? Uh-huh. He says, tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Next verse. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Uh-huh. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large flourishing cities you did not build. Praise God. So that means I've given you the law, but it's not automatic that your people or your children are going to live in accordance to the law. What you have to do is that you are supposed to do what? Come on, you are supposed to do what? Now, that means people cannot know God for themselves. True or yes? No, true or yes? You cannot know God for yourself. True or yes? Whatever answer you choose, I'm correct. So God says, I know, I've given you the law. But the fact that you have received the law does not mean your children are going to live according to the law. You are supposed to teach them. It means that when somebody becomes a child in Christ, what do I mean by that? When somebody becomes born again, the law of Christ must be impressed on their heart. So check it. People who don't like going to church, people who are not under any spiritual authority, they suffer things unnecessarily. They live their lives anyhow. Pastor Benny Hinn shares a story. He prayed for a woman. The woman got healed. And then he told the woman, I heard it from the mouth of Pastor Chris. And then Pastor Benny Hinn told the woman, stay in church for about 6 months. I mean, stay in our church where you got healed, for your faith to be stirred so that you can know how to walk in health. See, you are healed, but you need to know how to walk in health. So the woman said, oh no, I'm sorry, I can't. I got to go back to my church. Now, Pastor Benny Hinn says the church didn't believe in tongues. The church didn't believe in being filled with the Holy Ghost. They didn't believe in all these shaky-tilly things. And she went back. And the next time he went for a crusade in that city, the woman comes back again. Pray for me. The sickness has come back. See, and he says, if I pray for you 1,000 times, it's going to come back 1,000 times. Because the place where you get the sickness, you still go there. And that is the truth. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Yeah. You live anyhow. You don't have spiritual authority over your life. You don't go to church. You live your life. Nobody can. Obin to bin chew anim. You know, there are people like that. Obin to bin chew anim. Obin chew anim that because who chew anim our so beshi. When you are like that, you accrue for yourself unnecessary battles. Unnecessary battles. A decision from church through the word of God can save your life. You didn't hear what I said. I said that this, as I am preaching, I'm talking to all of you, but all of you are processing it in different ways. Somebody is going to make a decision out of what I'm saying, and the person's life will be changed forever. There are people who have mighty callings on their lives, but one shall soon quasari. It's calling on a tapi. You can't say I'll to appear out here. Any for 5-10 years. Oh, the call of God is on your life. You know, last week when we went in some, you know, I was ministering, and then I saw a lady. I didn't know the lady. I mean, it was a new lady in the church. And I saw the lady, and I saw that the lady had a call of God on her life. And I saw the lady, you know, where like preaching crazily and all of that. So I called her. I said, oh, do you know the question? Yeah, I know. You know, it was just, and I said, do you say? Said, but I won't do it. I said, why won't you do it? He said, I don't want to have troubles with demons. That's the most sincerest answers I've ever heard. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he doesn't want to have trouble with demons. Yeah. No, people think that all that we do every day is that we are fighting demons. Bush, bush, hey, bush. No, that ain't happening like that. Hallelujah. See, so you are supposed to teach them. It will not happen by automacy. You don't get automatic knowledge of God. You cannot be there and just know God automatically. The work of ministry, you cannot be there and by the time you realize you are preaching. No, it doesn't happen like that. Hallelujah. It is on the local church. It is in some of you think that me, I don't have a call of God. I won't do it. I won't do it. But if you keep coming to church, you find yourself that always you are tilted towards there. Come on, are we together in this place now? Are we together in this place now? Yeah, the call of God. You are supposed to be trained in the place. See, let me tell you, ministry in healing can happen by the gift of healing. And then, most importantly, it is supposed to be taught. The Bible said something that concerning the things of the Spirit, concerning the gift of the Spirit, I don't want you to be ignorant. What does that mean? Come on, what does that mean? We teach spiritual gifts. We teach tongues. Now, I'm not saying we teach tongues. I write, bra, 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 bodo. There's a bra. No, that's what I'm talking about. We teach you, and the teaching will inspire faith in you. And then you can easily pray in tongues. There are some places that if you find yourself there, you will never pray in tongues. Why? Because the teaching is not there. There are churches that nobody, for the past 10 years, nobody has been healed in the church. Why? Because they don't teach on it. Let's put 1 year down and let me be teaching on healing. I'm telling you, even the chairs will be healing. Because you see, there'll be so much faith for the impossible. You know, why is it that people claim that they were prophesying unendingly after they came to USM? Hallelujah. I've received a couple of testimonies, especially from the Ensound Brethren. You people, you don't share testimony. I don't know what's wrong with you. But then, the Ensound Brethren, there's this lady, Mary. Mary doesn't prophesy. I knew Mary before I left Ensound. And USM, I think, so I'm sure that may be that. To a bar, you know. And I didn't know. You know, the teaching really entered her. And so when I saw her, she was coming to give offering. I said, hey, man, I was even joking. And then we prayed for her. When she went, that night, she had a vision. After I laid my hands on her, she had a vision. And in the vision, she saw a brother in the church who is not a pastor, who is not a leader, holding microphone in the, this is Saturday into Sunday morning. Now, she has a dream and a vision and sees this brother, not a dream, it was a vision. And then this brother holding microphone and prophesying in the church. Then she texted Pastor Rabbi that I saw so and so prophesying in the church. And Pastor, you know, as a pastor, sometimes when people tell you things, say, all right, we'll pray about it, but you know, you're not going to do anything about it, you know. And she said she spoke in tongues through, when she go home, she spoke in tongues throughout the night. It was like something was burning. They get into church, service is hot. And then the brother picks a microphone and begins to prophesy. This is somebody who is not a pastor, who is not a leader. It cannot be by prediction. Why? The teachings on prophecy open something in her. Now that is why it is important to make sure that to know that the local church, God has a plan for it. We are not just meeting on Sundays. I can tell you, God is not happy that we are meeting only on Sundays. I can tell you because I know. He wants us to meet on Sundays. He wants us to meet on Fridays. He wants us to have hot, long hours of prayers. Because when I look at your faces, there are all kinds of things that have to be excavated. You understand what I'm talking about? But we're not getting the opportunity. Some hot afternoon prayer. You come at 10 a.m. Prayer need 8 p.m. You are still on the floor. Something is be who? You know what I'm talking about? And that is how people get raised. Yes, that's how people get raised. God has a plan for the local church. That some people, if you like, lay hands on them, lay legs on them, they will never fall down. And they pride themselves in that. Me. Huh, no pastor has been able to put me down. Like how they say. No, the problem is that you don't know what it is. How many of us, Obia and Vanessa account, not even in the service, you're just studying the word of God. And how many, why are you behind that? It is not the glory of God for, it's not the glory of the man of God for you to fall down. No. That's why I don't pray for people that, no, I don't do that. No. I did not come to stress myself. I can just call you. You are standing there saying the name of, if you go, go. If you go, don't go. It's between you and your father. You're reading Bible. And then the Spirit of God himself will lay hands on you. These things are things that we teach in our assemblies. Praise the name of the Lord. One time, I was talking to a brother. I said, are you coming to church? He said, oh, no. He said, why? He said, I'm going for communion service. I said, okay. So after that, we met. I said, okay, how did your communion? He said, oh, yeah, it was well. I said, okay, what did you receive? He said, I will receive the communion. I said, the thing that you are even taking, you don't even understand. You don't understand what you are taking. Praise God. I remember one time I had a serious infection way back. And then we're having a communion service at daddy's end. And then I prayed. I was so wild. I prayed the weekend into Sunday. They've given me all the amoxies, all the antibacterial. Naturally, I don't like taking drugs. Then the phlegms is brownish. Something, the thing wasn't going. And you see, the drugs, I was not taking it as they have prescribed. Yes. Because maybe you are called Nemus, I have to take the money on. And then I took the communion. They were singing a song, the blood that Jesus shed way back on Calvary for me. I took it. And I'm the only person who took it and fell down under the power. I did not drink any medicine again on that particular matter. So it is in the local church, there must be teaching. Hallelujah. Leading prayers. Like a generator. When you are taught well, you will see that when you hold the microphone and you are praying, it will be on a different level. There is nobody in the house of God that cannot stand before people. Write that down. There is nobody in the house of God. I can call any of you and I give you a microphone and say, start prophesying. The reason why you will not know how to prophesy is because you have not been taught. So when you go to a church, you say, sister, come and pray. Pastor, please. It is not because you are shy. No, you have not subjected yourself to enough training to make you pick a microphone and start prophesying. Glory to God. Why is it that a Christian will be there and somebody will come and sleep with her? A Christian is there and a demon will give you disease, infection and all of that. And you'll be moving about, drinking soap, drinking powder, drinking ice cream, drinking all everything. And it's not working. And you go into, I remember that we're having this service. What's the name of this service now? The one we have in March. Something Word Conference. Ministers Word Conference, MWC. And I was teaching on Jesus and healing and stuff like that. And somebody came to give me a testimony later that she had a problem with her menses. It had not come for years. Now, I'm preaching. I didn't know. I didn't have a word of knowledge about it. And just the teaching of Jesus got her angry. And she now told herself, my message is coming the moment I get home. So when we closed the service, she picked the car and straight went to the house. And she saw droplets of blood in her panty. And he came. And from that time, it had not stopped. She gave me the testimony month after because she said she wanted to be sure. Praise the name of the Lord. So the words that are coming, they are trainings. You are not just hearing and going. There are some words you are not even supposed to write. You are supposed to swallow it. These are things that happen in the church. When we meet together and we are listening to the word of God, we are praying, the Spirit of God is working in our midst in different forms. The church is the pillar and the ground for the truth. Hallelujah. Come on, you are not here. I say the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Say, I believe in the local church. Come on, I believe in the local church. One more time, I believe in the local church. I believe in the spirit of the local church. Say, the Holy Ghost is in our midst. Not like you mean it. Say, the Holy Ghost is in our midst. Not like you mean it. Say, the Holy Spirit is in our midst. He's doing things in our midst. Hallelujah. On Friday, I think it was on Friday night. Yeah, yesterday was Saturday. Friday night, I saw a kind of a meeting and the Lord said, you are going to have that meeting will be wild. I was there this morning and this young man texted me that he saw the meeting. I said, I see. Hallelujah. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is in our midst. The church meetings is not just people coming together and then we hear, oh, me kwa sorry about this year. They train me, meba. Why, meba? No, I sorry people are kwa uma. No, no, glory to God. Who daho? Who joho crying? Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah, and I love services like that. I don't know. I feel like if you don't take time today, will be like that. But I don't want today will be like that. Let's go to Psalm 78. Hallelujah. So there must be an assembly that teaches. Hallelujah. 78 chapter 5. Psalm 78. Do you believe in the assembly of the saints? Are you sure you believe in the assembly of the saints? Oh, Rama Shava, speak in tongues. Oh, come on, speak in the language of the Spirit. Like you mean it. Come on. Shavala Bakatai. Oh, Rana Mana 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 Maha. Kile Bregede Beshavahaya. Kile Gedelebo Shavahaya. Mantala Basaya. Kula Bahaya. Oh, Rafa Sataka Bahaya. Kada Bada 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 Bahaya. Shede Bele Behaya. Monolobo Shafataya. Bala Bala Bahaya. Oh, Leka Fra Bahaya. Era Mashata Kababa Bahaya. Liga Daba 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 Daba. Mama 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 Kuleba Sataya Kula Bala Baha Sate Kovahaya. Oh, Rama Sate. Hallelujah. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. I can teach on this also for a very long time. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. It means that the children would not know it by automacy. The children are supposed to be taught. That means God's people are supposed to be, they're supposed to be taught. Hallelujah. They are supposed to be taught. Now let's go to Ephesians. A very favorite scripture. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Are you there? And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Next verse. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. I'll talk about this maybe next week. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Next verse. Till we henceforth be no more children. Why are we now? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hold on. God wanted us to know, to have a knowledge of the Son of God. All right? To come into the unity of the faith and to come into the knowledge. Now, the word knowledge there means the full knowledge. Not a hearsay. Not a hearsay. Not assumption. A lot of people know Jesus by assumption. A lot of people know Christ by assumption. But then the Bible says God wants us to know him in full revelation. Now, the word knowledge is talking about revelational knowledge, a knowledge that is revealed. That is a knowledge you will not find on the street. Hallelujah. When I see TV programs discussing matters of the Bible and discussing Jesus, and I find, you know, they want to know about matters of Christianity, and they put pundits there. I'm talking about the one they have in that your friend say, what's the name of the television now? Yes, UTV. Yes, and they put people who have not been to church for the last 3 months. And they are talking about matters of tithe and offerings. Me, you see, anything I may just sorry, no. Because you see, they are so funny, you know. They are sorry money. No. You cannot know God by watching United Showbiz. You can't know God. See, the aim of the program is not to teach you God. The aim of the program is to gather views. Now, that's why it's a business center. Come on, praise the name of the Lord. Say, man of God, you are going to be sued. Sued by who? Is that not what they are doing? If you want to know God, if you want to know Christ, it cannot happen by hearing a celebrity talk about God. Praise the name of the Lord. You cannot know Jesus Christ from a pastor or somebody who calls himself a prophet who has openly declared that he does not believe in Jesus. Ajagunraja cannot teach you Jesus because he does not believe in him. Now, do you think that if I'm talking about Muhammad, I'm going to teach Muhammad in truth? I'm not going to do that because I don't believe in the guy. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. See, our convictions are supposed, you see, they are supposed to be, our convictions are supposed to be from the knowledge of the scriptures. Not the knowledge of the scriptures you just go and read. Because if you go and put on ChatGPT right now, I want scriptures that support what? Stealing. Or Google, you will find something. Hallelujah. Come on, are we together in this place? So the knowledge of God is, look at what the Bible says. He gave us pastors. He gave some pastors, some prophets, some apostles, some teachers, some evangelists, so that the people of God will come into the revelational knowledge of the Son of God. So if you want to come into the knowledge of the Son of God, if you want to know Christ, where do you go to? You go to where these guys are. And pastors are not in the sky. Pastors are in churches. So you find yourself one of the churches. And unfortunately, we have so many called pastors who are also not doing that. See? Because this whole Sunday morning, I can make a lot of money from you right now. I have to come with 3 prophecies. I'll tell you to come and sow seed. You will sow. You can't say you won't sow. You will sow. See, you don't know the ground. I'm a fruitful soil. I'm a fruitful ground. When you sow a seed into a hard ground, it does not. You will sow. I promise you will sow. You sow something. But then here we are. for the next 2 or so hours, I'm talking to you. I'm teaching you. Hallelujah. When you find Christians who put their faith in things, in a handkerchief, in water, in oil, in powder, in a cream, in a sobolo, in what again? In salt, in soups. There are some prophets, they have holy soups. These are people who are supposed to go and open a restaurant and not a church. Soups, porridge, anointed porridge with granules. And you see, all this is mostly, is the pastor's wife that is selling them. And it has the sticker on it. Blessed meat pie. And then the pastor's sticker is on the meat pie. Praise the name of the Lord. Say, I walk in the truth. One more time, say, I walk in the truth. If this, and you see, all these people in the Sobolo and all these kind of areas, it's not all of them that are not born. Some are truly born again. But they find themselves in the wrong place. Hallelujah. And the reason why they put their faith in objects and in things like that is because they have not been taught on how to put their faith in the Word of God. Hallelujah. They don't believe that if they stood without anything and made a declaration, it's going to work. There are Christians today who are going to all these churches, who supposed churches that are killing cows. Right now, there are prophets who can stand on national television and say, and they have this oration. They have this, you know, they are so eloquent. And they are talking. You look at what you have been through. Say no. Let me sneak and go and try. And those people, when they sneak, by the time you realize their face is on TV. Hallelujah. It's not in the blood. It's not in blood of bulls and goats. No, let's go to Hebrews 10. Let me show you something in Hebrews 10. Hallelujah. A pastor says that the more when you pray with candles, it invites angels. Who told you I'm dealing with angels? Angels. I walk with the Spirit of God. Come on. Hallelujah. Look at that. Look at that. The Bible says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. We need these teachings in the churches today. How can a Christian who has been bought by the precious blood of Jesus believe in blood of bulls and goats and cows? Hallelujah. We stop singing songs of the blood, of the power in the blood of Jesus. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, for the Lord having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, come never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Come on, next verse now. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once prakatalabaya, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. Next verse now. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible. It is not possible. Makataya. Oh, glory to God. It is not possible. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Next verse now. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world. Now that's Jesus. When he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but the body has thou prepared me. You don't pay money for God to forgive your sins. You don't buy goat for God to forgive your sins. You don't take special bathing and special cleansing. Somebody say, hey, this particular thing, you need to take a certain bath. No, look at what the Bible says. Next verse now. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above Above, when he says sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the Lord. Next verse. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Verse 10. By the which will, whoo, hallelujah, glory to God. By the which will we are sanctified, kobatiah, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. If the body of Jesus Christ could not do it, a body of goats cannot do it. I don't believe in goat offering. Even Jews, they have stopped that long time ago. I don't believe in goat offering. I don't believe in bulls offering. You couldn't change patani pa. Christo, a who had ni moja patai anyankopo or the ni moja hohoye ho sana semleka. Hallelujah. Look at that. He says that by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. The word once for all means once for all time. I'm cleansed forever. I don't need a soul cleansing. This rubbish going on, I don't need soul cleansing. I have been cleansed already. I'm sanctified, spirit, soul, and body by the sacrifice of Christ. Now, next verse. I'll close right now. And every priest standard daily ministering and offering, oh my God, oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. They do this thing over and over and over. Look at all these prophets who have a goat hanged somewhere, who have a cow hanged somewhere, telling Christians who have been bought by the blood of Jesus already to come and get cleansing from the blood. We eat cows. Their blood hasn't sanctified us. They are meat that we chew. Hallelujah. Next verse now. He said, but this man. Man. And I need time for today. He says, but this man. He says that there is a reason why. When you look in the Old Testament, the priests, they constantly were working. They were working every day, killing bulls, killing goats, every day. When you read the Old Testament, every day, when you sin, you bring a goat. When you sin, you bring this. When you need a soul cleansing, you bring that, you bring this. Then he says, God said that, I don't have pleasure in these things. I don't have pleasure in these things. So God sent his son, Jesus, that by the sacrifice of his body, that those who believe are once for all time sanctified. Now, to be sanctified then means they are set apart for God's use. You cannot tell me that you have been washed by the blood of Jesus and then somebody press something somewhere and then you die. What's wrong with you? Do you know the blood that bought me? Hallelujah. No. That's why I say I cannot be killed by a witch. This one, it is not a prayer topic. Why? Because I am bought with the blood of Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah now. Now look at that. He said, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever. It was one sacrifice forever. I don't know how many of you are here with me. It was one sacrifice forever. I cannot die because it was one sacrifice forever. 2,000 years ago, and the blood is still working. I said 2,000 years ago, and the blood of Jesus is still working. Some good 2,000 years ago, and the blood is still powerful, and the blood is still effective. I believe in the blood of Jesus. Am I communicating to a believer? I said, I believe in the blood of Jesus. Sit down, let me show you something. Let's go to Exodus 12. Man, I want to preach on local church, but I dare not done it. Exodus 12. Stop this nonsense. As though Jesus died for naught. We believe in his death. Come on, I don't have Christians here this morning. Sorry, we believe in his death. Now, look at that. He says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. I can teach on this. I'll teach it on next year. The beginning of months. Next verse. Come on. Speak ye unto all the children of Israel, of the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two sides, on the two side posts, and on the upper door, on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodding at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his leg and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. I need time. This thing next year, we'll look into this church will Samatambo, I'm telling you. For look at it, it says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Next verse. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land. So he's saying that the presence of the blood on your doorpost is an indication that you are not supposed to be destroyed. When the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not. This is what we are talking about. That blood on the doorpost is a law that this one must not perish. Now, goodness God. Good God. Listen. Whether the person was good or he was bad, he didn't say that let the blood be put on the doorpost of those who have lived right. He says that anyone, so even if an Egyptian caught that revelation and put, and let me tell you something, there were Egyptians who followed the Israelites, so some of them might have caught it and they put it on their doorpost. As long as the blood is there, destruction is not permitted to enter. We are just talking about the blood of lambs. How much more the blood of Jesus? How much more the blood of Jesus? I don't perish. Come on, I don't perish. I don't perish. I don't perish. Glory to God. I don't perish. I don't perish. He says, if I see the blood, the Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus sprinkles on us every time. Every time. The blood is on us every time. This time, it is not our doorpost. Because in the Old Testament, if you got out of the door, you would have perished. But this time, God says, you know what? I'm taking it higher. It is no more the blood of bulls and goats. This time, it is the blood of the God man. And that blood is upon you. It is in you. Wherever you go, you are safe. You are clean. Come on, sit down. Let me go back to the local church matter. Sit down. So don't believe in those things. Hallelujah. Don't believe in the gospel is simple. Don't believe in those things. We have a higher blood. higher blood. The blood of the sinless Jesus, of the perfect Jesus, of the man that was God. Come on, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, let's go to Acts chapter 20. I think 20:28 or somewhere. It's been a long time I read that scripture. Let's get in there. We don't find it, we'll find it. Hallelujah. 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. The flock refers to who? The believers, right? Over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. The church of God that God purchased with his own blood. God had to go through a lot for us to be called Christians today. So it would be totally useless for you to tell me that after you have believed in God, a witch is pressing your neck in the night. It is illegal. It is illegal. You cannot tell me that you are at your workplace. Somebody did not like you. The person decided to paralyze you, and you also got paralyzed. We have to lash you. Why do we have to lash you? Because you were bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Your understanding of this and your knowledge of this insulates you from any kind of demonic attack. Hallelujah. Come on, praise the name of the Lord now. Hallelujah. Yes, it insulates you. Know this. Don't let anybody make you a slave. Yes. Else you become a slave. You will need a prophetic oil before you feel you are safe. You will need a romantic power oil. Yesterday, we traveled to Central Region and we had Enzima Powers Oil. Enzima Powers Oil. Yes. Or say, but Toby Naka, but they're free. Be one Zima. Mandagabadai. Talabakate. Listen, the oil lives in me. See, these things, carry them home. Cassette, carry these things home. Carry these things home. Carry these things home. There's no power in a shrine. The power is inside you. He is called the Spirit of the Living God. Let's come back to the... How did we get here? So I was saying that all these things, sacrifice blood, let's go and kill a cow. Let's go and kill this. Let's go and that. Let's go and this. Let's go. All these things are not necessary. Hallelujah. And your faith in the word of God is something that is going to be taught, that is taught in church. So when you come to church, the psychology you use to go to church, like you are really going to learn to become, that's the same mind you need to bring to church. Hallelujah. You are taught how to minister healing. You are taught how to evangelize. Tomorrow we are starting the online gathering, something, something. Yes. So you are going to be taught how to be effective as a soul winner. It is in these things that you become a solid and effective Christian. A Christian that is killed by a witch is not because that Christian wasn't powerful. It's because that Christian lacked training. Like training in the matters of divine authority. Hallelujah. A Christian that is killed by a witch. A Christian that is, what again? Molested by a demon. You don't know what happens. Every day you are depressed. Every day. Say me, I live in the city of depression. I easily get depressed. I'll be there and then I don't feel like talking to anybody. I feel I'm very dis. Your problem is that it's not because it is you. It's not you who is depressed. It is your lack of training in the matters of the joy of the Lord. Yeah, we teach the joy of the Lord. We teach divine, we teach Holy Ghost exuberance. We teach on shouting. We teach on rejoicing. We teach on jumping. We teach on singing. We teach on dancing. Dancing in the house of the Lord. There you are. We are singing. You are standing there like a tree that is not going anywhere. Why are you not dancing? All these things. Listen, I don't know when I'm going to teach that again. But listen, I taught on praise. We had a month of praise or something like that. And I taught on exuberance of the spirit. And I took that. I took time. We saw from the Bible. I took time to explain. Agalio. I taught on dancing. I taught on rejoicing. The Bible says that make a joyful noise. When the Bible says make a joyful noise, it didn't say that if your temperament is sanguine, make a joyful noise. If you are melancholic or melancholy or melangolo, be quiet. He says, make a joy. Everybody, no matter your temperament, you may be one serious gentleman. You don't like noise. You don't like disturbance. You know, you just want to do everything so cool and so nice. You may be a perfect lady. You know, you don't like shouting. You just want to be a lady. You love, you know, you want to be a lady. But when the Bible says, make a joyful noise, I'm telling you, make that joyful noise. Hallelujah. When you study, hold on. When you study the word of God, become it. There is a doctrine of shouting that God decided to teach the children of Israel. Because I don't understand why God would tell the children of Israel that you are supposed to pass around the wall of Jericho and every time shout. Because all the battles that God took them through, there was no shouting. To some people, stones came from heaven and hit them. So why is it this one that we are to shout? God was teaching something there. That when the war cannot be dealt with, even when you pray, shout. When you shout, hold on. You people, I'm teaching. Allow me. When you shout, the wall will come down. You see it in the life of Jesus. He shouted at the demon. He gave a loud cry. And Jesus shouted, come out. There is something in shout. So if you are melancholic and metromondos and paragides and telebecos, you those of you who have temperament of you know, yes, quiet, you don't want no trouble. He said, me, in my house, we don't shout. You know, in my house, even when a pin falls, everybody can hear. Hey, I don't want to be in your household. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. The Bible talks about praising the Lord with a dance. It's not when you have come to church and we are dancing and then you are just there. No. Praise the Lord with a dance. Praise the Lord with a dance. It is something. Dance talks about believing in the ability of God. So you are already rejoicing ahead of the praise. You are rejoicing ahead of the testimony. I have not seen it yet, but I'm dancing. I just saw it. I am dancing. I thought no Christian is supposed to be moody and be depressed. I'm depressed. I'm perplexed. I'm centressed. I'm compressed. I'm pantressed. Every kind of press you are some. No. Praise the name of the Lord. When you feel like you can't have it, what do you do? Shout! Shout! How many of you pay money for shouting? Yeah, sit down. Let me wrap up. Let me close. I mean, let's try and finish this service. Let's finish it in peace. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Look at what the Bible says in Psalm 1 verse 1 to 2. Oh my God. Psalm 111 verse 1. Four ones. Praise ye the Lord. Full stop. Yeah. See, I don't have any explanation. Praise ye the Lord. Full stop. Maybe cast, but no, because you can't start a sentence like that. You first say, oh, hello, people, how are you doing? No, it's just imagine like a pastor enters. I enter, I pick the microphone. Before I say anything, praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Full stop. Munye radia ye. Hallelujah. Bible says, sing a new song unto the Lord. Put words together and sing them. Praise the name of the Lord. Ye radia ye. Can't you only say ye radia ye? You know, look at that. He says, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. So when we come to church, look at what happens. He says, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright. Hallelujah. And in the congregation. So he says, when I come to church, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. When you come to church, praise the Lord with your whole heart. He did not say, I will praise the Lord when I am happy. No. He says, the moment I find myself in the congregation of the upright, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Let Sundays be great days for you. Yeah, Sunday morning, put your praise on. Come rejoicing. Come rejoice. That's what he says. He says, come rejoicing. The reason why I'm telling you to praise the Lord is that me, when I come into the assembly of the upright and in the congregation, I praise the Lord with my whole heart. So the man of God is saying, drop all your wahala away. Don't bring it into church. Praise the Lord. Give somebody a high five. Say, in the church, we praise the Lord. One more time. Say, in the church, we praise the Lord. One more time. In the church, we praise the Lord. Psalm 68. Let's do last scripture and be out of here. Verse 5. No, 89. Sorry. 89 verse 5. Glory to God. So when you come into the church, don't be monotonous. Don't be mokomonous. Don't be words we can't explain. No. That's what I mean. When they are in church, they look like things we can't explain. An unexplainable letter. Somebody says that the love I have for you is like a copied assignment. I cannot explain. Hey. Yeah. The love I have for you is like copied assignment. I cannot explain. Words. So don't come to church looking like a borrowed or a copied assignment that we cannot explain. Hallelujah. He says, and the heavens shall praise thy wonders. I need time for that. He says, the heavens shall praise thy wonders. Do you know what wonders means? I want one dear. He says, the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord. Thy faithfulness also, oh my God, is in the congregation of the saints. Listen. Adie wo kambomwa nyanzenim. Adentia. The heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord. Thy faithfulness also is in the congregation of the saints. Does it make sense? He should just keep on talking about the heavens. So, Yansa, a woman is here. The wonders is what is called the faithfulness. So, if that is the case, then the congregation of the saints shall also praise thy wonders. Wunu kwari di, enu ni wanwa wa sem ni wanwa wa juma. Enu ti wa safu ebe yi waye. Hallelujah. So when we come to church, you cannot come to church depressed and go back depressed. Come on. Praise the name of the Lord. No. You should not. Don't. You didn't come to church. You went to somewhere, maybe where? A mosque or a market. Or maybe somewhere they just say things you don't understand. Maybe that's that. You didn't come to church. Praise God. But if you came to church today, You got to live with excitement. Oh, hallelujah. I said you got to do what? Just get out of church with some serious Holy Ghost excitement. Hallelujah. Now, let me wrap up the message. Let me get to the conclusion. Yeah. I need some quiet. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So the plan of God for the local church is to be a center or a place where God instills his culture in us. One time, I was telling some people, a pastor had misbehaved, and somebody said, hey, so for pony, and all cause will preach. And I'm saying, go ahead. And go ahead, go on by here with your mother. That being one year then. Christ to me. You want your anything, you name your oil. And also, answer am sorry. There be a way to know who name your oil. And go on go ahead then. Go on be there now. I'm sorry, I know Beko. I didn't know Beko, so I'm sorry. Because the culture will be taught. And when the culture is taught, what happens? He will get out. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. So people who judge people, Christians who judge people in the church. Hey, look at you. Hey, you know. Those places are places that they don't take time to teach the congregation to shut up. There's one instruction in the Bible. The Bible says, mind your own business. It's in the Bible. When the day I saw, I said, wow. The Bible says, mind your own business. Focus on your own life. What's your problem? Hey, have you heard? Please. The Bible says, what did the Bible say? That's the word. To one America. Yeah. Praise God. That some Christians, everything they want to say something. And I'm saying, and by she asks you what call you, what is what's your problem? As we about so near, make a joyful noise. I know you see No, hallelujah. So it's in the church we are trained. We are trained to become effective. It's in the church that we are trained, and that is God's plan. Now, in following the plan of God. That becomes the second part of the message, but I'll just continue next week. I'm just wrapping up. In following the plan of God, you got to understand what the plan of God is for the church. What is God's purpose for the church? What is God's purpose for the church? Hallelujah. You got to understand that. So that when you go to church, when you come to church, you would do it with certain level of understanding. The Bible says in Psalm that God does terrible things. Now, terrible here is talking about wondrous things in the congregation of his saints. And he is to be feared. So when we come to church, the church is a place where we create the atmosphere for the diverse manifestation of God. So in the church, God will be handling somebody's business. In the church, God is handling somebody's marriage. In the church, God is handling somebody's ministry. God is handling all kinds of things in the church as we come. So once the atmosphere is created and the environment is created, you learn to flow, hallelujah, and you allow the variegated manifestations of God in our midst. Hallelujah. Praise God. There are people who go, I saw one church, and I saw the prophet call the woman and said, you, there is a guy coming into your life. And he mentioned the name of the guy and said, don't allow the guy into your life. He has HIV. He's planning to infect you with it. In church. That day, if he had gone to wash, would have been HIV. And the lady knew the guy. I said, this pastor is very cultured. Yeah, I'd have to say, call the guy right now. I said, young man, you have HIV. We need your picture to paste it on the television so everybody will know you in the church. that people who come to church, prophecies will come. You want to make a particular journey. You want to go to this journey. Don't go. Don't go. And then your life is just saved like that. Just saved like that. Just one church meeting. Saved your life. Save your family cost, money, funeral cost. Yeah. One church meeting, you know, is save your family. Yeah. Because then when you die, people have to sew new dresses. People, their food, jollof, no peace. Oil, gold, they have to buy all kinds of things. One prophecy, it just saves your family that money. One prophecy. Hallelujah. Oh, my man, Mbokabium. Oh, Papa, Mbokabium. If you had gone to wash, your family come back. It means that even when you come to church, your family benefits. They don't spend unnecessary money. Hallelujah. Look at somebody, say church is good. Make a habit. Say make a habit. Make a habit of regular attendance. Hallelujah. Don't stay home on Sundays. Don't stay home on Sundays. I said, I said, I'm sorry, but I'm sorry. I'm a hear me. I want to go to church. I'm thinking about church, but I'm not in the mood. I'm not in the mood. Those of you who come to church with moods, you come to church with moods. Somebody was called. Say, are you not coming to church? I said, please, no, I'm not coming. He said, why? I don't want to explain. Wow. We're busting on Baba Boka Nansea. On Baba Boka Nansea. Hallelujah. Sometimes you come to meetings and there's so much intensified presence of God. You go back home and you start having certain dreams and certain leadings. Hallelujah. The way Uncle Foko Bosom saw to go and invoke whatever. Yeah, yeah, the enemy Bosom. Yeah, the enemy Han Yishian. Ye be Kenya Muaha. Oda na nyoma eba. When you, how many of you dream? Some of you, you don't dream at all. We really want to pray for you this morning. Hallelujah. Yeah. Somebody said that new Christians, we don't dream. We are led by the Spirit. Please, if you are like that, I want to humbly pray for you this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it's important. God primarily leads us through His Spirit. But it does not stop Him. His Spirit actually can bring things to us in dreams. So dreams are not bad. Hallelujah. Yeah, so regularize your coming to church. Regularize the meetings of the assembly. Hallelujah. Yeah, when we meet together, regularize it. When we are praying, pray some. When we are shouting, you maybe me, if I go to a church for the first time, you will not know I'm a first timer. No. I don't, because the house is not your house. It's my father's. It's my also father's house. Yeah. You will dance. I'm going to dance. I remember when I went to Achia Mountains, you know, and then Sunday, the first Sunday, I saw the way the people were doing the church. It was so opposite to my spirit. I said, no. This is not my life. So the next Sunday, I descended. And I drove all the way to Asqua. Then I went to PIWC in Asqua. Oh my God, the sound of it, that church, that Pentecost church, is a real good church, man. You know? And I was there. I was enjoying God. I was just dancing, enjoying God. That day, I was the pastor's wife who preached. He didn't really say anything like that. But I mean, you know, it was nice too. So I loved this. I loved the song and everything. So when they finished the church, they say, oh, the first time I should come. Then I went. So they told us to, they welcomed us and they took us to a particular room so that they will come and preach to us, then we'll be born again. You know, so they came and preached Christ to us again. And then they said that, we have to go to another room. That's the place that we're going to speak in tongues and what have you and all of that. So we're writing our names before the tongues. They run and say, my name is Pastor. I said, oh, you're a pastor. Oh, please. Hallelujah. There was nothing that showed that I was a first timer. Praise the name of the Lord.
Mammy, no, no, what about sorry old jamming chain or hiding a brandy with jam jam machine? If you know, me just say, my busy class, you know. No, so when you come to the house of God, you must be alive. Yeah, you must be alive. Don't come and you look like something we can't explain. Regularize the coming to church. I remember when we started church at Setchikum Fresh. You know, there were some people, they all mumbas or Uber Pons or nobody's normal to bicycle. So, and the Okoran Man Kobebia, I didn't know one mass was in every. So I kept asking, why these people had the Edian Pan? Then one day the Spirit of God told me that, and go for your own. The problem is simple. They are not used to going to church. So there are some people in this, they are not used to going to church. Am I still okay? Why am I going to church like that? There are people like that. They don't understand. Hey, 2 months near every Sunday, Makwa, sorry. No. What, 2 months, 6 months? Yeah. There are some people like that. Of course, sorry, baby, and I enter BB by you know. Hey, I don't understand, though. Am I okay? It's like, I said, baby, I hear my brother. What? I said, Makwa, sorry, though. No, hallelujah. You have to be used to. There are services that are particularly for you. If you have a problem with going to church, today as we are praying, just join the prayer. Yeah. Just say, God, help me. Don't say a lot of things. Just say, God, help me. Help me, help me, help me. Hallelujah. Help me. I need help. Help me, help me, help me. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's good to be in church. I said, it's good to be in church. Don't be home on Sunday eating the mutio. Those of you who are online, if you didn't go to church and you are eating the mutio and you are watching us, go off. Go off. Don't watch us. Go off. Go and find a church and go. Hallelujah. It's good to be in church. See, you have to start missing the brethren. Yes, you have to start missing the brethren. Hey, yes, I'm going to see Nadia. Wow. Yeah. How many of you miss Nadia? You miss Nadia. Sunday, you miss you. Yeah, so come to church because of Nadia. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Plan your services. Because you see, God has a plan for you. Know that God has a plan for you. And it is not anything, you know, extra. The word is not extraordinary. What am I looking for? It's not spectacular. It's not you come to church, you see fire, and say, this service was really for me. No. A word will be imprinted on your heart. And you will need that for the next days of your life. For the next weeks of your life. For the next years of your life. A prayer will be said. We are going to pray together, and that prayer is going to shift something in your life. Praise the name of the Lord.
We trust you've been blessed by this message. This and many more messages by Reverend Samuel Kwame Sasu are now available on all major podcasting platforms. Kindly search for Reverend Samuel Kwame Sasu and tap the follow button for more. Visit us at any GWC church near you in Sawom, Kutunse, Achimota, Bubuashi, Kumase, Kintampo, and Oda. God bless you.
Kobaye. In Christianity, God is a preserver. In Christianity, God is a deliverer. In Christianity, God is one who prospers. He's a prosperer. He's one who prospers. So in Christianity, God is our soter.